All right, let's talk to our next guest, Ray Dittinger. So you can weigh in on the Phillies from last night, the Paul George press conference, and obviously heaviest today on the Eagles, both regarding the team as they shoot toward their first practice, which is coming up in about 2 hours. Bummer to see Cooper DeJean, the news of him yesterday. He's going to be out for what looks like might be about 3 weeks, a hamstring injury. So his chances to start out of the gate this season certainly take a big-time hit. But also a lot today on what we want to hear from Sirianni and Hurts when they speak publicly, and what we expect to hear from Sirianni and Hurts when they speak publicly. All of those topics on the table, 215-592-9494. You know who's on the table? The Diddy, Mr. Ray Dittinger. Good morning, Ray Diddy.
Good morning, Joe. How are you doing?
Ray, listen, two things. First off, always doing better when I talk to you, but extra always doing better when the Eagles are about to practice for the first time. I mean, Ray, you feeling that football thing alive again?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I always look forward to the start of it. You know, it's the sport that I love and the sport that I covered for, 55 years.
Long time. You're still doing it, Ray.
Long time. And, I'm always excited when it gets underway, especially when you have a team with this kind of roster and a team that it really has a chance to do something.
Sure
and
does.
I think we all feel that. I mean, listen, I covered this team in the early 70s when you went to training camp and you knew exactly what you were dealing with. I mean, you knew you had a team that would be, that would be out of it by October 1st. And that's one whole different emotion. But when you go in, when you start a season and you go to training camp and you have a team that has a realistic shot of getting to the big game, of getting all the way there and playing for a championship, then it becomes really, really exciting. And I think that's how we all feel about this.
I agree. Look, they got a lot of talent. They do. By the way, let me also say the Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Whether you want gas or electric, Armin has an Equinox for you. Armin's offering great savings on all Equinoxes. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Today's poll question, do you want the NFL, as there is discussion now of, to go to an 18-game regular season? A, yes. B, no. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Ray, we'll get to that with you, but let's start Eagles as you were there. What, Ray, do you expect from Jalen Hurts when he speaks? Like, my expectation as Sirianni is he's going to say, everything's fine, we're good, let's rock and roll. On Jalen, I'm not as confident that he'll give that, even if he doesn't feel that about the head coach. What do you want to hear from Jalen? What do you expect to hear from Jalen?
Well, I don't know. I mean, what I would like to hear from him is a little more clarity than we did the last time we heard from him. You know, when he had the press conference where he talked about 95% of the offense is different, and, you know, well, they're going to have trouble working that out. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he finished his press conference, and everybody kind of looked at each other like, what? What was that all about?
Yep.
I think he kind of has to, I'm sure he's going to be asked about that, and to just try and set the record straight. And look, that isn't exactly what I was trying to say. I think I probably didn't make it as clear as I could. Here's how I really feel. I mean, that's kind of what he has to do. Because when he walked away from the podium last time, I mean, he had everybody scratching their heads. And it's all we talked about in this station for about 6 weeks. So, I mean, the first thing he has to do is he has to clear the air on all of that and just tell us exactly how he does feel about what happened at the end of last year, and more specifically, how he feels about working with a new offensive coordinator and the changes that are going to be in the offense, and, you know, what he has to do to get his game back on track. Because we saw, listen, there's no sugarcoating it. I mean, there was a major regression with this guy. I mean, he went from being, you know, pretty much eyeball to eyeball with Patrick Mahomes in the championship game 2 years ago to a guy who was struggling to complete the pass in the end of the season. So, I mean, there was a big, big difference. And is he capable of getting back to what he was? Of course he is. Of course he is. But the fact of the matter is, now he and the coaching staff have to get him back there.
You know, Ray, I'm curious. You've covered so many athletes, and I know, you know, the one you featured, I guess, the most in your more recent book on your career was Schmitty, saying he was the best that you saw, you know, I guess, after Will Chamberlain that you covered. I'm curious, Jalen's personality. I mean, it is what it is. Do you feel that it is important that he evolve, even if it is not in his bag personality-wise? Or are you a believer of what a person's personality is what it is, don't try to change him, even if he's the quarterback of the football team?
I'm kind of in the second category. You know, I mean, the person is what he is. And I know the Phillies, it's funny you bring up Schmitty in the same context, because you know, the Phillies thought for a certain part of his career, they thought that Schmitty, as great as he was, that he was too cool, you know, and he was too aloof. And, you know, Danny Ozark, one year they went to spring training, and Danny Ozark announced the first day of spring training that Mike Schmidt was the captain of the team. And it was their attempt to try and bring, you know, to get him to engage with the other guys in the locker room more and to become more of a leader, which you would like your best player to be. But it was, you know, we went to Schmidt, and Schmidt like rolled his eyes, like, you know, yeah, they just told me that. And and it was, we all knew it was silly, because that's just not him. He's a great player. You know, he was on his way to the Hall of Fame. He was the MVP when you won your first World Series. I mean, he did all the stuff you wanted him to do. But don't ask him to be Pete Rose. You know, don't ask him to be Sal Bando. Don't ask him to be the captain of the team, because that's just not his personality.
Can that work? Can that work?
Just let him go play.
Can that work at QB football? You know what I mean? So I hear you on Schmitty. Can that work for football quarterback?
Sure. Yeah, I can. Absolutely. I mean, it worked 2 years ago. You know, that's the part that I'm. You know, last year there was all this discussion down the stretch last year that, oh, look at him on the sidelines. Geez, he's just sitting there, and he's not talking to his teammates, and this is bad. He's not exerting leadership. You get the video from the year before. It was the same guy.
Yes.
It was the same guy. It was just people were reading it different because he wasn't playing as well.
Ray.
I've always said, and I believe I've had this conversation with you guys a couple of times, in pro football, and especially at the quarterback position, leadership is defined by performance. If leadership is, you know, I've seen all kinds of personalities come through. I mean, Jim Kelly's personality was totally different than Joe Montana's, was very different than Dan Marino's, was totally different than Dan Fouts. Yeah, but they're all in the Hall of Fame. But none of them exerted leadership the same way in terms of what you saw on the sidelines, in terms of being animated or vocal or rah-rah. I mean, some of them were. I mean, Kelly certainly was. But Joe Montana would play a whole game and never say a word other than call the play. But he was a great leader because the guys on the team had such confidence in his ability to win a game for him in the fourth quarter. That's where the leadership comes from. And if the players believe that their quarterback's capable of taking that ball and driving it 90 yards in the last 2 minutes and winning the game for you, then he's your leader. But it's all about the performance. He doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to lead cheers. He doesn't have to be the guy that brings the energy to the locker room. All he has to do is bring the performance to the field. And we saw that 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts was a terrific leader for this team. I mean, there's no question he was the leader. Everybody looked to him in the critical situation. The difference is he delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Last year he didn't. So, I mean, it all comes down to performance. I always believe that.
Ray, Jalen told us that it was 95% new, this offense. You know, I think that's probably just the terminology is 95% new. The language is 95% new. But he's got a lot to learn. This offense has a lot to learn. How much does that change the way practice is run? The way that camp is run. Last year, Nick Sirianni, I think it was October, maybe even the end of September, he was already talking about the possibility that he would change training camp to make it more difficult because of the slow start that the Eagles were enduring. How do you think that's going to look? How much harder will camp be this season?
Well, I'm sure Nick's going to be asked that today, and I don't know that he'll answer it directly, but we'll see when they get on the field. You know, we'll see if they work harder. We'll see if there's a little more contact. We'll see if it's a little more demanding physically. I hope it is.
Yeah. 'Cause
I really do think, and having gone to his practices the last couple of years, I really do think they needed to work harder. I've always felt that. And you know, look, I'm maybe not the best judge of this because, you know, I was going to training camps in the 70s when football was a totally different game. And training camp was a totally different animal.
Training camp was like 3 months long, wasn't it?
You went like, you know, July the 8th, and you played 6 preseason games.
Oh,
you didn't break camp until you went from July 8th to September the 8th.
Six preseason games.
And you never left training camp. Guys never had a day off. It was like Papillon, it was like a prison camp.
And it's two or three practices every day, and you're wearing pads and you're hitting for every one of them.
For Vermeulev, certainly was true. And you know, for Kayat, it was. But I mean, nothing was ever like Vermeil's camp. I mean, Vermeil's first camp in '76 was the most brutal thing I ever saw. I mean, they did. I mean, it was 3.5 hour practices every day. In full gear, full contact every day, and then meetings till 11 o'clock at night. I mean, guys run their hands and knees going to breakfast in the morning.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, so, Ray, let's talk about this camp.
By the way, Joe, I'm not suggesting the Sirianni
right,
has to go
right,
back to that.
No, okay? I didn't think you were.
By saying that and telling that story, I'm not suggesting that that's the way to do it today.
No question.
Because they'll never allow you to do that today, but to be a little bit tougher and a little more demanding than they have been the last couple of years.
Yeah, you can ask a little more than what you've been asking.
So Ray, this camp, for a good team, and the Eagles should be a good team, maybe a great team, they've got more open battles for starting spots than most quality Eagles teams I can ever remember. I'm curious, of all the spots that are open right now for who's going to start, which position and which combination of players intrigues you the most to watch at training camp?
Oh, the secondary. Because it's a shame that DeJean is not going to be able to compete for a couple weeks, because I think he's really good.
Yeah,
I think he is really, really good. I think he's a guy that can come in and be a difference maker right away. And I'm sorry that he's now going to be getting off to a slow start. But you know, by the time the season rolls around, he'll be fine.
But he was one who had the best chance, like, to really come in and make an impact right away. And it's just such a shame that it was him that got set back like this.
Yeah, it was. You know, but Mitchell's really good. But I mean, that's really what they have to sort out is the secondary. I mean, you're right, Joe. They've got a couple of areas they have to address. But the big thing is they have to straighten out the secondary. I mean, they have to figure out who's going to play in what spot and get them out there and just make them better.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the season, that was the worst pass defense in football. I mean, when you watched it in real time, it was bad. And when you went back and you watched the tape, it was worse. I mean, there wasn't a single thing that they did well. They couldn't cover, they couldn't think, they couldn't react, and they couldn't tackle.
Mm.
I mean, that secondary was absolutely bordering on embarrassing at the end of the year. And that's what got them run out of the playoffs.
Wild. You know, Ray, it just strikes me. I'm going through the roster in my head and the spots. And, look, I think Cam Jurgens is going to be pretty darn good. But it is notable. Today the Eagles will have their first practice with Jason Kelce not part of the team since 2010.
Right.
How do you feel Jurgens is going to do? And second part of the question, who the heck is the guard that plays next to him that takes his spot that was Jurgens' spot last year when Kelce was the center?
Yeah, good question. Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about the fact that the first day of practice, first day of getting on the field, and you're not going to have number 62 for the first time in a long time, and that's going to be different. I mean, that's definitely going to be different. I think Jurgens will be fine. He actually played better than I thought he would at guard last year, considering that's not his natural position. But center is his natural position, so I think he'll step in there and he'll be fine. The only thing is that you can't expect him to do all the things that Kelce did, like, right away. I mean, he just won't. And one of the things is the mental part of it. I mean, I don't know if people really appreciate how much responsibility Kelce took off of the quarterback with his ability to set the protections and do all the things at the line of scrimmage before the ball was ever snapped. I mean, look, he was the best in football once the ball was snapped, but he was absolutely the best in football before the ball was snapped with all the stuff that he communicated to the rest of the guys on the team. And I mean, it really took a lot of that responsibility off of Hurts. And now I don't think you can ask Jurgens to be that guy right away. So it's going to be a little bit more for Hurts to see and think and do and try and communicate because he can't rely on
to
do all of it.
I don't know, Ray. I that is a big question mark. Who calls these redeclarations of the mic? Yeah, on a lot of teams that I've been on, it's been one or two or both or a mix. It's center and quarterback.
Right.
It's just like a rule of the West Coast offense that it's center and quarterback who sort of work that out amongst themselves. It really is going to tell us a lot. If Cam's the one who's, gesticulating wildly and making all these calls, that says something to me. I would like to see Jalen being more immersed in, making sure he's communicating everything.
I agree, John.
Than having Cam do it.
Look, you want them both to be able to do it.
Yes. Absolutely.
You want them both to be able to do it, but
I want Jalen to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
well,
because
yeah,
I want him to advance.
Yeah, I know what John's saying, and I agree with that. But the thing is, they have to be speaking the same language.
Yeah,
you know, they both have to be communicating, and they both have to be doing all that stuff. But they have to be doing it in the same language. They have to understand. They have to both see the field exactly the same way.
Right.
If Jalen doesn't trust, look, Jalen had the utmost trust in Kelsey because he was the best at what he did. I mean, he knew everything that was coming from Kelsey before the ball snapped was 100% accurate, and he could trust it. Will he have that with Juergens right away? I don't know. It has to happen. It has to happen. That communication has to be there, and it has to be good for the offense to function. That's where the offense starts, where the ball is snapped. But, for years now, you could sort of just – it was just a given that you had a great center who could do that better than anybody, so it was something you never even had to think about.
Yep.
Well, now you got to think about it.
Well, now he grows. Now he is looking at this and making the call himself and working together with a new center who's also looking at this and making the new call himself. They're collaborating. It really is like they're growing at the same time in the same offense with a new staff.
Like it's gonna
everyone's learning this for the first time. They're learning it together. It's a good symbiotic moment for them to sort of grow together.
It'll be fascinating to watch. There's no question. Ray, let's get to the pass rush. So 2 years ago, 70 sacks, third most in NFL history. That team included three guys that are no longer here. Fletcher Cox, Hargrave, and Reddick. Is this defense's pass rush good enough? I mean, obviously you can't win in a big way in the NFL without a pretty good pass rush. Is this pass rush good enough?
Well, it's going to be different. It's going to be different with Fangio calling it. It's going to be a different look, and they're going to approach it a different way. But you know, a lot of it depends on your Georgia guys. You know, I mean, those are all high draft pick blue chip players that you brought in here to kind of be the guts of your defense. And, you know, they've shown you at various times that they're really good, but they haven't put it together yet. And that's, you know, when I look at that front seven, that's what I really think about is Davis and Carter and Smith and Dean. You know, I mean, those guys, if they all play the way that, if they all come out and play and prove to be the players that you drafted them to be, then you're going to have a really good defense. But, I mean, it starts with those guys. I think
the problem is it might be just Jalen Carter who's really the guy you bargained for.
That's where they need Bryce Huff. So, Ray, we asked Jaws about 3 weeks ago on the show, like, is he legit? And it was not a yes answer.
Right.
You know, it just was not a yes. Jaws was like, eh. He got to the quarterback a lot last year because they had missed assignments and guys didn't block him and he got in there. Yes, no question, Ray. In your opinion, for $51 million, replacing Hassan Reddick, is Bryce Huff legit?
I'm kind of where Jaws is. You know, I'm kind of where Jaws is. And I don't mean to suggest that I don't think he can't. I'm not suggesting he can't do it, but I need to see him do it 2 years. Because, I mean, he was in, you know, last year, he's been in the league for a while now. And then last year was sort of his breakout year. But it's really just been 1 year. And I've seen that before. You know, I've seen that, you know, guys, he's just kind of a guy for a couple of years, and all of a sudden he has a great year, and everybody thinks he's a superstar. But in reality, he's just a guy who had a good year. Well, they're paying him to be a superstar. I mean, that's kind of what they're doing, and they need him to be that guy. I know what Ron said, because I can't tell you I watched a whole lot of the Jets last year, because they were a non-factor pretty much most of the season. But after the Eagles signed this guy, I went back and I looked at it. His sack total, while it was really good, a lot of them were missed assignments. A lot of them were missed blocks. I mean, that's kind of the mistake that people made. You know, not that I mean to evoke a bad name, but Marcus Smith. When Marcus Smith came out of college, everybody ran you the sack total. Oh, man, look at all the sacks he got. And he went back and looked at them, and they were all missed blocks. And it turned out he got here.
That's fascinating.
It turned out that he wasn't nearly the player that his stats would lead you to believe. Now, I'm not saying that necessarily could be with Huff, but there was a little bit of that? Yeah, there was. He's got a very quick takeoff. He obviously has some good pass rush skills. I just don't know. I want to see how Vic wants to use him, because with the Jets, he was never a base defense player. I mean, he was purely a pass rush specialist. With what you're paying him now, I think you're going to ask him to be more of a base defense player. And I don't know that he's going to do that, because from what I saw last year, he is not a great run defender. He's not going to give you much against the run. He's out there to do one thing, and that's get after the quarterback. And for the money you're paying him, he's going to have to do it in a big-time way.
Hey, Ray, we
look like Jason Babin, Joe.
Yeah, a little bit. Don't even go there. I mean, hold on. Ann Iverson again.
Don't go there with me. I
can't even take the name Babin. Can't do it. Ray, we look forward all season to talking football with you. Thanks, Ray. Great stuff.
All right.
By the way, Ray, I know you got it. Speaking of football season, I know you got a big-time event coming up in September. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. This is something new that Glenn Macnow and I have put together, and it's a stage show, and it's called The Greatest Moments in Philadelphia Sports. And it's going to be Glenn Macnow, myself, and none other than the great Joe Conklin.
Nice.
And we're going to try it for the first time at the Ardmore Music Theater on Lancaster Avenue out in Ardmore. And it's going to be, we've already sold out one show on September the 18th, but there was such demand that they've created now a second show on September 17th. So if you want to come out and see Glenn and me and Joe Conklin and relive the greatest moments in Philadelphia sports, get in touch with them. You can go to TIXR.com and enter any of our three names, and you can order your tickets. And I think it's going to be a fun night.
Awesome. Love it. Ray, thanks so much, bud. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks, Ray.
All right, take care, guys.
Hi, there he is, the Diddy. 215-592-9494. Reminder, Nick Sirianni's press conference today at 9 o'clock. We'll carry it here on WIP. Up ahead, more from what Paul George said yesterday, and some interesting odds related to Nick Sirianni and Bill Belichick.